Is my horse happy? Many of us ask ourselves this question. But instead of observing our horses and asking them, and then to feel into the answers we get, we listen to others, trainer or barn friends, and what they tell us what we should do to make our horse feel happy and safe. And I'm sure they mean very well with what they say. But before we dive deeper into it, let me welcome you to my newest podcast episode, in which I would like to talk about how you can find out for yourself if your horse is really happy. My name is Britta, and my passion is it to accompany horse people step by step in their journey to a peaceful togetherness with their horses, in which they can create a deep bond without dominance, control, and repetitive exercises, where they can meet their horses at eye level and do fun things together, all while still mastering the daily have-tos. Horses are always authentic. They don't lie or have a hidden agenda. And they have emotions. They can feel happy, fearful, frustrated, also sad when they lose a very good friend or when we move them to another barn away from their herd, for example. And many feel helpless and alone. Horses do many things they don't enjoy, for example, to avoid disharmony or discomfort. And every horse deals with what we ask of them differently. They also show their needs and emotions differently, as they all have different personalities and made different experiences. And it is very important to understand the horse's language to be able to correctly interpret what our horse feels and wants to express or what it suppresses, so that we can avoid misunderstandings. We tend to interpret behavior our horses show with human-like character traits and motivations and describe our horse's actions, for example, as jealous, stubborn, or overdramatic. Or we think our horse makes fun of us. The scientific expression, and I try to pronounce it correctly, is anthropomorphism, which is defined as the attribution of human traits, emotions, or intentions to an animal or object. That means we attribute human motivations, characteristics, or emotions to our horse's behavior. We do this to make sense of our relationships and environment. However, it can be very damaging to how we perceive and explain our horse's behavior. Because how we interpret human and with that our horse's traits and characteristics depends, of course, greatly on our often negative belief system, namely what we think about others, ourselves, and the world. Another problem here is that we overcomplicate the emotional and cognitive processes of the horse. For example, if a mare refuses to take one more step when we are out for a ride, we might think that she's a diva who is being purposely difficult and overdramatic. A more accurate explanation could be that she has become fearful of things she encountered or has developed separation anxiety from her field mates. The biggest problem, however, is that how we perceive a behavior dictates how we react to it. If we believe the horse's behavior is motivated through something negative or that they are being deliberately naughty, then we are more likely to respond with pressure or even punishment. But if we take away the emotional element and try to identify the actual cause of the behavior, we are more likely to find the true reason behind it. Often a reason we can relate to when we see and understand where it really comes from. As you can imagine, I'm not trying to say that horses don't have emotions, on the contrary. But what I'm trying to say is that they experience the world not in the same way we do. Interpreting horses' behavior with our human mindset comes from our hope to have a true bond and emotional attachment, that we still feel connected when things are not going well. And with that, it is almost impossible to avoid. But being aware of it helps to find the real cause for a behavior, and when we really understand our horses, their signs, needs, emotions, and their struggles, we can help them to feel seen and understood, and safe, and happy. And we will be able to help them to release old negative experiences and to learn to trust us again. And with that, our relationship will strive. Okay, how do we then know what our horse really feels? If it is, for example, happy or not? We start by leaving all our human-related interpretations aside as much as we can and just observe our horse. First, we look at physical signs of suppressed emotions or experienced trauma in its face and on its body. Then we look at the behavior, body language, and appeasement signs. If we know the history of the horse, we can also try to find possible explanations for certain behaviors in the past. And then, if we are comfortable with it, we can also feel into what's happening on an energetic level. That works very well because we have mirror neurons that help us to feel what other beings feel. Then, we interpret all of this in context with the situation in which our horse displays a certain behavior, and we regard its character and experiences. Okay, let's start. Step one is to feel into it. Spend a little time with your horse. Be close to it, get quiet, get present, and feel. What comes up? What is your horse's overall expression? Does it seem happy to you? Then you can start interacting with your horse. Do the training you normally do. How is its body language now? For example, when you invite it over, when you walk together, when you stop, when it comes towards you. Does it seem relaxed, stressed? How does the horse react when you touch it? Does it find the touch pleasant or unpleasant? Best is to ask someone to film you when you're with your horse and to watch it later for yourself. Then it is easier to see, as you're more of a neutral observer compared to when you're being together. Step two is to take a closer look at your horse for physical signs of discomfort. Are the nostrils round and pointing towards the front? Do they look strained and the profile of the nose is flattened? That's a sign for either a lot of stress or pain. If the ears are lowered and the distance between the ears is increased, or if the ears are held stiffly or are turned backwards, that also indicates pain. A prominent chewing muscle and increased tension above the mouth is also a sign for either pain or stress. If your horse has worry lines above the eyes, that's a sign that, of course, something is worrisome. Maybe it lost a friend, experiences too much pressure, feels helpless, overwhelmed, unsafe, or is in pain. And how does the bone structure above the eye look? Is there a bit of a hole? That is often a sign for chronic stress, pain, or maybe the horse was starved at some point. Are there scars in the corner of the mouth? Neck muscles in the wrong place, neck pushed through, white spots in the saddle area, all signs from experienced physical and emotional trauma. Step three is to interpret your horse's body language. How does its ears look? Are they pinned backwards? The interpretation here depends on the situation, of course. It can mean too much pressure, anger, maybe towards another horse, or that it wants treats. It can also mean pain. Sometimes horses pin their ears when they try to drive you. Pinned ears don't mean concentration. They can concentrate very well with their ears pointing forward. Ears turned backwards usually just means that the attention is to the back, but it can also mean submission, fear, or pain. Ears turned sideways down usually means insecurity. It could be something in the surrounding, or the horse is unsure what we are asking from it. Now, let's look at the other signs. Eyes partially closed or wide open, mouth open, being above the bit, head twisting, and wide eyes often indicate pain or stress. A tense face, a prominent chewing muscle, tight mouth, and nostrils are often signs for conflict, anger, or, as mentioned, pain. Head in the middle, not high and not low, can mean sadness or feelings of helplessness. Body muscle tension during interaction means too much pressure is applied. A swishing tail depends on situation and how many flies are there around, of course, but it can mean annoyance, irritation, Maybe we are too close and the horse needs a bit more room. Step 4 is looking for appeasement signs when you train your horse. Looking or leaning away, for example, when we work in the round pen and the horse looks to the outside, is an appeasement sign. It wants to leave because it feels you're annoyed with it. Foals do the snapping to appease older horses. Other appeasement signs are showing off the neck, holding the head low, slow movement, approaching us in a circle and not directly. Licking, chewing, lateral ears, yawning. Yes, chewing can also mean processing. It depends on the situation, of course. Blinking can also be an appeasement behavior and is often misinterpreted. These behaviors can all be signs of an attempt to calm us down. Best is to react while we are still in the situation to show our horse we are not a danger and that we react to its signals. Your horse doesn't have or shows any of those signs? Wonderful! But if there is something like a sorrow line, appeasement signs or behavioral problems when you're together, that's also wonderful. Why? Because then you can take these signs as information and motivation to change something. You can help your horse to overcome past traumatic experiences. You can find ways to improve its everyday situation. You can start thinking about the training you do, if it is completely in line with what your heart is telling you to do, and maybe adjust or completely change your togetherness. And yes, you can also feel into it if your horse mirrors something that maybe has something to do with you and how you feel when you're together with your horse, but also in your daily life. Do you maybe bring fears, frustration, struggles, or negative thoughts about challenging situations in your life with you when you go to your horse? Things you experienced, maybe a problematic relationship, be it with your partner, children, or parents. If you have the feeling it could have something to do with you and your emotions, you can think about which areas for your own development you can see and where you can very gently take more care of yourself. Here are a few questions for you. Maybe take a piece of paper and write the answers down. What takes my horse's energy away? What does it not like to do? And what could the reason for it be? When does my horse look tired? What takes away my horse's zest for life? How does it live right now? Does it have friends? Does it have access to pasture and enough hay? And to other horses? If so, how is it doing in its herd? Is there a lot of stress? And also, what is important for my horse? What must be fulfilled for it to be happy? What would need to happen that my horse can truly shine? What must be fulfilled for my horse to simply love being my horse? Which of my values should I always keep in mind when I'm with my horse? And questions for yourself. What takes my energy away? Which beliefs, people, places, and situations? What makes me happy? What do I wish would change? And then ask yourself, what was the best time of your life to date? The time when you felt the most energized, alive, and the most like you. And then, when you have all your answers, imagine your horse could talk. What would it say? Close your eyes and wait. I'm sure you'll get an answer. Most of us want our horse to be happy, and that we can be happy with it. But we feel pressure to exercise, train, dominate, and control our horse. And sometimes we think our horse just cooperates because it knows it has to. We know we have a bond, but forcing our horse and controlling it doesn't feel natural or right to us, and we wish there would be another way. And there is. No shoulds or musts anymore. Only an authentic, peaceful way of being together, where we learn, where we heal, and where we can grow together, where the relationship will strive and we and our horse can be happy. Thank you very much for listening to this podcast episode, because that means you really care about your horse and you're open to hear about a new and very different approach. If this is not your way, that is absolutely okay. Everybody is on his or her own journey, and I'm still super happy if you can take some of the ideas with you. But if you started to be more and more intrigued, and if something of it rings true in you, I'd like to invite you to visit my website, peopleandhorsesinoneword.com, or my Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter account for more info. Have a wonderful day with your horse.